Now, we've got one of the most interesting people that we have ever met on the show between now and 1 o'clock. Although, when you see what he's just done, you're thinking, right, and this man's the most interesting person you know? Do you want to just describe what's been going on the last couple of minutes, Alison?
Oh, God.
Our guest has nipped out, okay, get something from the car, and he's just come back and said, hey, look, it's a lovely day out there, but I just want to warn you that the handrail's wet. And he's got red paint all over his hands. We thought for a minute, though, look at the red.
He's done the chainsaw massacre.
Anyway, welcome, Brian Harris, Lord Harris. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mac. Sorry, I shouldn't give myself airs and graces, should I? I've got enough airs, but no grace at the moment.
No, not with
not
that.
With the red hand, no.
Now, obviously, for those people that don't know, you are the first person that, when we first started doing the phone-in back in 2010 on Vectis Radio, you were the first person that phoned in.
Yes, indeed. You had Roger Mazilius as your guest, and having had a few bits of sparring occasions with Roger, I thought, well, I'll ring up and give him grief. But also having been a fan of yours and your phone-in on the previous radio stations, I thought, I'll give Ian a bell and let him know that at least he's got one listener.
Well, and that were me. And it was. It was you, yeah.
Mm. So and you've never forgotten. That's the scary thing. I phoned up last week, 2 years after last speaking to you, and you said, hello, Brian, you're our first speaker, etc. So,
It's true. It's history.
Gone down in Vectis history book.
History yes. in the making.
That's right.
So you used to spar with... Do you miss sparring with... Because obviously he's nothing at all to do with politics now, but he does sort of chip in on various things, doesn't
yes.
he?
Yes. No, I never had sort of personal sparrings with him, but I was involved possibly on things like Vent the Blog, which is now, of course, on the White. I used to contribute to that sometimes. Not always under my own name, of course, as lots of people don't.
Oh, you're one of them, are you?
Yeah.
No, I just like...
he's a closet on the White.
So, lots we want to ask you, because obviously you're a fascinating character. You come in and fill a whole hour about 2-3 years ago?
Yes, you were still at the old place.
West
opposite
Street.
Maury's.
West Street, yeah. Yes. We found out that you were a Crystal Palace fan.
Indeed, one of quite a number on the island, amazingly. They're growing in number, or else I'm seeing more of them.
Well, we did point out that there was a lovely story. You probably remember, as you've mentioned, the old place there, Pat the Builder.
That's right.
Pat the Builder's got a really good story to tell. Do you know what the story is?
I don't. I gather he is a Palace supporter, though.
Yeah, he's a Crystal Palace fan. And he, if you go back in time, when Eric Cantona decided that he was going to go and kung fu kick someone in the crowd.
And I was right opposite the other side of the pitch, and I watched all that.
You watched it all go off?
Oh, yes.
And that guy was banned for life, and who bought his season ticket? His seat?
Right.
Pat the Builder. Pat the Builder.
Yes, Matthew Simmons was the guy.
You're absolutely right, yeah. Yes.
Sorry, I'm a sad person. I remember some things.
There you go.
I was going to say, I don't know what I had for breakfast, but I do actually. It was Little's version of Shreddies.
So you were there. I mean, this is another great debate. We could fill an hour. Where were you? Were you there when? And you were there when Eric Cantona decided to kung fu kick someone
yes.
in the crowd?
We were just stunned by it, because obviously being a Manure supporter, a Manure player, sorry, I'm...
A Manure player.
I don't say like was it them. Had it not been for us losing to them in the replay of the 1990 FA Cup final, Ferguson wouldn't have had a job.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Apart from that, but no, I'm not that keen on Manure in the way that the things their supporters do and things like that. You know, a few of them come from Manchester, the rest are all over the world for some unknown reason. Sorry, yeah. I'm probably losing millions of listeners now. There again, it could be picking a few up, you never know.
Yeah, only if they're Man United fans. If they're not, they're all with you.
These teams who play in red.
Well, you've got matching hands.
Yeah. This sounds Arsenal. Have you got any blue paint?
No. Yeah, we want to talk about your time as the mayor a little bit later. You want to talk about Ryde as well, because you're a member of, and you got your shirt on there. It's the Historic Ryde Society.
Well okay. done. I'm chairman of that
chairman
venerable organisation.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a wee while, but we want to talk about Ryde overall as well. But let's go back to when you were mayor.
When I was mayor, yes, 2010, 2011. We were a fairly new town council. We were only formed in 2008, and I was the third mayor of the town council.
Only the third mayor?
Only the third mayor, yes.
Did you get any, like, special... Could you park anywhere you like and things like that?
I could park anywhere I liked as long as nobody caught me. No. when we were formed as a town council, and previous to that we'd had Ryde Town Management Committee for 2 years, which was an embryonic town council. In those days... Sorry to do a boring bit. In those days... Not all of the island was imparished with parish or town councils. The Labour government said everywhere should be imparished. So the Isle of Wight Council said to the four areas that weren't imparished, Newport, Ryde, Northwood and Whippingham, go and speak to the people. If more than 10% of the people you speak to sign the petition saying we would like a council, you can have the council.
Right.
Obviously, if 80% said we don't want a parish council, tough. They got no, you know, the majority didn't win in that particular case. But anyway, went around talking to people, and I was saying that we'd like a new town council which can look after Ryde specifically. You know, Newport's 7 miles away; they don't care about Ryde. And a lot of people think, still do think, unfortunately, that either we're a borough council, we can do everything, or they wish we were the borough council. The way we're going, actually taking on the services, we're going to be more like a borough council in the future. We're taking more and more services on due to the cuts from Isle of Wight Council. But we don't have any powers as such over most things like streets, street lighting, things like that. So parking privileges, we don't get nothing at all.
Oh, right, OK. So as a mayor, you didn't get any parking privileges at all?
Nope.
Did you have a car?
I had a car, my own one.
Oh, you didn't have a mayoral car or anything to travel around in?
No. It was just one of those. We are only a parish council, only in inverted commas, because, of course, Ryde is the largest, the most important, and the best town on the island, he says, waiting for the brickbats and things like that.
Nah, see, I agree with you. But I agree with you, to a point. You don't know, do you?
Well, no, because otherwise he's going to put that red paint all over me.
I wouldn't dare. Stan might look.
How important is a town council then?
It can be very important. I mean, you have councils from all over the island. Some are small, some are medium, some are large. You've got places like Arrowton, for instance, parish council with, I think, 8 or 10 councillors, and they should be very good at looking after their own local interests. And this is what a local parish or town council should be doing, looking after the local interests. For the community, the things that they can have an effect on. We do summer and winter decorative lighting, which is very important for the tourist trade. You know, people come over and say, oh, aren't the lights nice? Mm-hmm. If we didn't have lights, they'd probably say, not a nice place. They can't even bother to put up Christmas trees, Christmas lights. We do things like that. We beautify the place with Ryde and Bloom. One of my sins, I'm also chairman of the Ryde and Bloom Committee, which is basically a council-run body, although we're trying to get it more community-based, which is responsible for getting the flowers around the town. We do a lot of summer and winter planting ourselves, apart from the Isle of Wight Council, and getting residents to enter Ryde in Bloom competition, which then we put forward into South and South East in Bloom. We've been doing that for the last 5 years. We started off with a silver. We got 2 more silvers. Last year we got silver gilt, and this year we're going for gold.
I mean, Ryde has changed. I used to live in Ryde. I lived there for 10 years, and I must admit, I kind of like Ryde. But since we've left, they've upped the ante a bit, and they've started doing, you know, they've fixed the seafront, looks great, there's a lot more to it, and, you know, it's massively improved. So do you see it that way as well?
I suppose so. I've only been over here 16 years, so I'm surprised you're even talking to me at the moment, as I'm still very much a newcomer.
Really?
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming in. We'll take a break now.
I spoke to John Matthews, the former coroner, and one of the deputy lieutenants of the island. I was speaking to him yesterday at the Commonwealth flag raising occasion down on Ryde seafront, and he said, oh, they won't even say hello to you after, you know, unless you've been here for more than 20 years. But so he said, I'm not going to speak to you. But then he did. But no, I think Ryde, probably it was its lowest point when we moved over. Yeah. Because I gather in the 70s and 80s it was still the place to go to. Mm-hmm. Then the big shops went down, a big store opened up outside which took a lot of the shoppers away. But I think it's having a resurgence, and hopefully we're doing something about that.
Okay, which is great news. I mean, you know, Ryde has, you know, when we go down and have a look at Ryde now, it's picked up an awful lot. How much of a difference will it make when and if we lose the ice rink?
I think that'll make a tremendous difference. I think it's a great change. We've already lost the Speedway.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's coming back. I know you had dealings with... I saw you down there a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
I'd never been to Speedway before, but that was an added attraction. But obviously these things take money. But coming over to the island those 16 years ago, I thought, gosh, they've got a Speedway, they've got an ice rink, yeah, all sorts of things that... There was nothing around like that where I lived, which was south of Croydon, between Croydon and Gatwick. Didn't have things. So coming over to Ryde, all these things in a small island, as well as the beaches, as well as all the natural history, the countryside, etc. So I was amazed at what Ryde had to offer, and the quirky shops as well, which is another thing people talk about.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely. But it's going to have a kind of a knock-on effect. It's going to be quite sad, actually, if we lose the ice hockey, yeah, the ice rink as well. But having said that, a few years ago, the people of Ryde pulled together and they managed to save the swimming pool. So what are the chances? Right. I mean, what's
I'm hopeful. The swimming pool, yes, that was saved the year I was mayor, actually. We had... quite a few discussions, budget discussions then. We had a couple of good, well-attended meetings up in the George Street Centre, and the vast majority, almost unanimously, decided we should be putting quite a fair chunk of money into the swimming pool to keep that going. And so we've been supporting that to the tune of £30,000 or £40,000 each year since then. They've had a couple of £40,000 and then £30,000 each year. And we're still doing that, and I think we should be doing that. That's one of the things local councils should be doing. Because we have the power to raise the local council tax, called a precept, as Newport did last year, they doubled, more than doubled their precept last year. Yeah. This year, I gather, they're reducing it because they raised a lot of money. They didn't need to spend that, but they've got that in the coffers. Now they're reducing it again. They can react far quicker because they don't have many statutory duties on which to spend the money, like the big council. Local councils can do that. They can raise or not raise money for fairly quick things, if that makes sense.
Do you see it changing, though? If, just say, for instance, if the ice hockey goes, I mean, first of all, do you think that's going to be saved?
I don't honestly know. I would hope so. With people like Ian Jenkins, who's chairman of the Waterside Trust, I think that's the right title, sorry Ian, if it's not, with him sort of heading up the steering group, as I believe he is, it looks promising. And I personally, and this is a personal opinion, I was as a town councillor, I would be happy for us to spend some of our money on saving the ice rink. I know it's slightly different because at the moment it's a commercial enterprise, sure, but if it can be made into a community interest company, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Because we can make that sort of difference.
We'll talk more about that in a moment. Are you up for a couple of calls?
Up for a couple of calls. Do I need headphones or anything like that?
You might do. Have you got any there? Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Keith.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
Voice in the distance there. Yes, you're talking about riding.
Yes.
And about the ice rink going, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, have they managed to save that yet? Have they got any plan of action for that yet or not, do you know?
Well, Brian may know a bit more about this than me, so yeah. I'll hand it over to him.
Oh, hello, Brian.
Hello, Keith. No, I'm sorry, I don't really know too much of what's happening at the moment. I'm trying to keep myself distanced from lots of things. I've got too many jobs on at the moment. I'm one of those people that I don't say no enough times, and so I'm trying to sort of stay out of everything until it's necessary. But I gather, as I was saying to Ian just now, that Ian Jenkins from the Waterside Trust, he's leading the group of people trying to save the ice rink, so I hope he'll be successful. And also, I don't know if you caught that as you were waiting on the phone, that I'd be happy as a personal viewpoint that I'd be happy if the town council put some money into the ice rink to try to save it for the community.
Are you still there, Keith?
Yes, mate, yeah. It's a helicopter just going over, yeah. No, I was a bit concerned yesterday, and I saw a video that was put up on the net regarding the state of Sandown at the moment.
Yeah, I did see it.
I
was going to ask Brian what he thought about the, you know, because you talk to anybody in Sandown, it's kind of run down a little bit, and you know, what are they doing? But we had Jonathan Bacon in very recently, and there is a plan afoot. There is a plan in place for Sandown. Watch this space. But you know, it doesn't stop people, like, you know, putting videos up and showing it for what it is at the moment, which is not fantastic publicity.
Yeah, it's bad, really, mate. Because like I said, anybody that's planning on going on holiday there, I'm afraid they can see it and see the downside of it, can't they?
Do you think people realise how negative they're coming across by doing it, though, Keith?
Well, the thing is, the trouble is, you know, would they rather see it there before they get there, if you know what I mean? You know, they might get there and become really disillusioned with the place.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but there are, you know, like I say, ride. I think when you go to ride now, you see a massive difference.
Yeah, and, well, and it's my question, gateway to the island, isn't it?
Exactly. My question to Brian was going to be, you know, are we going to be working as groups of people with Sandown and Shanklin to improve, you know, those towns like we have with you know, with ride? Equally, it's like you've got a team of people that are now involved with trying to save the ice rink that were involved with saving the swimming pool. So maybe these people can help each other.
Well, I certainly hope so, mate. Like I said, it's bad to see, because Sandown, you used to have White Air, you used to have loads of things going on there. And I think it was only a couple of years ago they were playing with the idea of, I think it was it landing a hovercraft there?
Well, that's due to come back, I believe.
Really?
Yes, that was something that they've been discussing, and they will be doing a couple of, I think it's a couple of trips a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays,
right,
and maybe Saturdays
even.
They
also experimented down at the Needles, didn't they? They brought it in at, was it Totland?
I don't remember.
Well, they did it in Shanklin. I remember them doing it in Shanklin about 7 or 8 years ago. Used to come up onto Shanklin seafront as a trial.
Let's hope it kicks off and brings more tourists to the island.
Yes. I mean, regarding your comment about the film, Keith, it can be a bad thing, obviously, because people will say how bad it is, but also I presume it's being put up there as trying to kick up the backside of those in authority to try to do something about it, because if people think everything's okay, they're not going to worry, are they?
No, that's right. It's like the hotel. I think that's been burnt down for years, isn't it?
I make no comment on hotels being burnt.
Oh, right.
Not without his lawyer.
We have the Royal York.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. So, what was that big hotel on Sandown Seafront? Was it the Grand?
Oh, the Grand. Yabberland. Yes.
Yeah. That's. I mean, that is right next door to the
Dinosaur
golf,
Isle.
Dinosaur Isle, the golf course as
golf
well.
Isle of Wight Zoo.
And apparently the people that own that, they also own the Strandin Ride. Not the Strandin Ride.
The Royal York.
The Royal York.
As you go up the hill, it's on the left-hand side.
Yes, the Art Deco
one. Same person, but apparently that is all been sorted out now. So what is going to happen with that one then? Oh, look, he's looking sheepish.
No, that's English Pete who does that. And if you know anything English, Pete, come in. No, as far as I'm aware, planning permission has been requested, and I've got a feeling it's been granted, to turn the rear of the Royal York Hotel into 4 mega flats,
right,
going for quite a few squillion each, and then I think a 30-bedroom hotel at the front.
Oh, right. So it's going to be a hotel then?
It's going to remain a hotel, if remain is the right word. At least some of it is.
Yeah.
That's as far as I know. I haven't looked at planning. I used to be on the planning committee, but once again, I'm trying to not get too involved with things until they're just about to happen. But I believe that's the case, and if it brings a nice-looking building back into use, so much the better, because at the moment it's a right eyesore.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But then I also think to myself, well, do you really need a massive hotel?
Well, we don't have much accommodation in Ryde these days.
Right,
We're about to get the Travel Lodge in Lind Hill,
just
opposite the town hall. I'm not going to get stuck on that, hopefully. That's another wasted opportunity. But years ago, we had lots of accommodation. We lost Harcourt Sands a few years ago when that was bought by a mainland company. They bought that and one in Bognor Regis, and all of a sudden the Bognor Regis one closed, and I thought, oh no, don't say they're going to do that. And a year later, of course, Harcourt Sands closed. And it could have actually been kept open, because I gather it wasn't losing money, but it could have been kept open, still fulfilling its purpose, while the owners were trying to get planning permission, etc. But instead somebody's done the sort of thing and leaving it to go to rack and ruin, thus making people say, come and at least do something with it.
So that's what it is at the moment. Harcourt Sands is just
left. Just rack and ruin, yes.
Oh, how sad is that?
People have gone in, vandalised the chalets and things like that. They were quite usable. Some of them were comparatively newly built.
That is really, really sad when you think about it.
Yeah. And the island as a whole lost an awful, awful lot of hotels and guest houses, you know, right full length and breadth of the island, didn't we? You know, we had little quaint guest houses that you could go to, sort of 5 or 6 rooms and things like that. But a lot of their clientele changed. You know, we all kind of expect to go to a hotel that's got an ensuite, that's now got Sky TV, that you can access broadband, you know. And I think because we were so quaint, we kind of got left behind, didn't we, an awful lot.
Well, foreign holidays became so cheap. I've never had one. I haven't even got a passport now. My passport ran out just before I was mayor, strange enough. Because one of the advantages of being mayor, you can actually sign other people's passport applications.
Wow.
So my neighbour came up and said, can you sign my application? I said, oh, great, never done that. Oh, you have to have a current passport. Looked at mine. Ooh, it ran out last year. So,
oh, right.
So I wasn't even able to take part in that. Wasn't even able to take part in that little sort of
thing. Do you know what? There's in the last 5 or 10 minutes, we've talked about Sandown, we've talked about Ryde, we've talked about the decline and so on and so forth. But people still come to the Isle of Wight. Because, you know, we all know that, especially when you get to those 6 weeks during the summer holidays, they say the word is that the population of the Isle of Wight doubles.
Mm.
So we go from almost 150,000 to very near 300,000 people on the island. Mm. So we know that it's a destination that people want to come to. And so that would suggest that there are only, you know, it's teething problems. It's just small problems that are wrong. But if you've got all those amount of people that are here, and you lose a holiday camp, and you lose a few other things as well, you think, right, okay, well, how do we fix it? How do we make it better? Does it need fixing? Because all these people still come back year in, year out, don't they?
Well, they're changing. The demographic's changing, apparently. We're getting lots of coach holidays, of course, especially off-season. They seem to come from the north of England for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just that... the coach companies are more aggressive marketing up there, or maybe they want to escape because, as we know, it's grim up north. Sorry for any northern listeners now. I'll try and insult everybody if I can through the course of the next few minutes.
Many fans have just dialed
yes,
out.
Northerners, anybody north of Watford, of course. And I won't mention beating Watford in the playoffs a couple of years ago. sorry. But no, we get a lot of coach trips coming over now out of season, which is good because that's extending the season for hoteliers and the like. I think we should be looking at more local people. This is something that came up 2 or 3 years ago, that we're not advertising Ireland as much as we should be in the south of England.
Right.
We concentrate, this is one of my major beefs, growing up south of Croydon in the old Southern Electric region, I know that covered the whole of the south of England, Third Rail Electrics, etc. Actually, in 1924, we even had an overhead rail system coming to Coulson North, but that
was... Were you alive then?
I wasn't actually, but I have seen black and white photos of it. But anyway, we now have the train connection. I mean, if asked either of you, where do you get out of Pompey, where do you go to? What stations do you go to in London from there? You would say...
Highbury.
Via
Waterloo.
Waterloo. How about you, Ellie?
I don't very often go.
No.
but most people think of Waterloo because South West Trains is a connecting... train operating company.
Yeah.
But what about Southern, which runs via Croydon, East Croydon, on my way to Selhurst, of course, up to Victoria? We don't actually look at the south coast along to Brighton.
No, that's true.
Things like that. We're in a battle with Brighton at the moment with the Scooter Festival. A lot of people have been going over to Brighton because apparently Brighton Council are making them very welcome, making it as easy as possible to get lots of scooterists there. We need them coming over here still on the mainland,
sure.
on the island.
Absolutely.
And I can upset a few more now because I personally cannot stand scooters. But having said that, I don't want them to go. I'll do anything to get them to come
There's
over here.
There's thousands
I'll,
of
I'll
them,
put,
isn't there?
I'll put up with them for a few days.
Yeah.
I'll welcome, I'll talk to the guys. I mean, I just have no feeling for scooters. I was always a motorbike guy myself, even though I went straight from a push bike to a car when I was younger. I was rich enough to be able to do that.
Don't you think that's a lot of problem with the island? I mean, we have like the festival and we have the bestival and we have the scooterists, that there are a few people that shout loudly that put people off.
Mm.
You know, there were signs outside, we don't want scooterists in this pub, we don't want scooterists in that pub. What difference is that scooterist money compared to mine going in the pub?
Exactly, it's all
no,
money.
Not at all, but, is it? And that's what people should be looking at.
Yeah.
It's like all them people that were moaning and groaning in Arrowton about the motocross.
Yeah, well,
exactly. Why
it
did
wasn't
they do
actually
that?
The villagers that moaned about the motocross. It was people from outside the village that didn't want it. But again, but seriously,
what
that was a world-class event.
Exactly. Designed,
that should have stayed.
Designed
Absolutely.
By the motorcyclists.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, it was great. And if I'd, you know, it's like that. And with the Speedway. I know Speedway was lack of money because it was costing money.
But
to
people
run.
Moaned about that, didn't
people
they? And
about
that's
that.
What I'm saying. But it seems that a few people shout loudly, give it bad publicity, and then it's gone.
Yes.
You know, and once they're gone,
Very
they don't come back.
That's right, yes. Especially because we have got, and I don't want to introduce the sort of the tunnel or the bridge or any sort of fixed
line. Arrowton International.
But, you know, we have got the slight problem or the advantage, whatever way you look at it. We have got the sound in the way. We've got to make that as minimal an obstruction as possible. We've got to make it as easy as possible for people to get over here. And that little mini cruise, the Britannia is being launched, named today by the Queen, yeah. The new P&O ship. Why bother to go on that? You can just, you know, for half the price, or even a quarter of the price, pop on Whiting or Red Funnel and have lots of trips. You know,
see, you saying that, when I was a child, going over to the mainland for the day, the day out was actually going on the ferry, yeah, wasn't it?
It makes all that difference.
You know, for a yeah. cup of tea, and you could have pie and chips, and, you know, it was the start of your holiday. Yeah. It was yeah. the start of your day out. And coming back was just as fantastic. Yeah. You know, so where's that gone? Well, because I found that as a child. It is me when, you yeah. know, when we go away, yeah. I sort of, oh, we're going on the ferry. And just to actually be sat out on the Solent mm. with the sun shining, there is nothing nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we listen to X amount of people that moan and groan.
Moan
about
the fares and this, yeah, that, and the other.
The ones that don't moan and groan, the ones that they may just be the ones that, hey, look, this is how we see it. It's part of the holiday.
But
we
they should be
it.
Shouting too, shouldn't
well, maybe,
they?
Maybe we listen to the people that are shouting yeah. too yeah. much.
There's no good news in shouting about things that are nice.
No.
You've got to bring the negative. You know, man bites dog is no news. Dog bites man is no news. Man bites dog is news.
Mm.
So I don't know what that means, but there we are. It filled up a few seconds.
Turning things round.
That is paint on your hands, isn't it?
Yes, I am. It wasn't a full moon last night, was it? I didn't do something I wasn't expecting to.
Not that I'm aware of. Hey, look, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back. Because what we want to talk about is... I don't think on the Isle of Wight we are... steeped in history, and we don't make enough of it. We really don't. And I know that Ryde is steeped in history as well, and I know that's probably why you're a member of the Historic Ryde Society.
Exactly.
So we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll chat about that in a moment.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call West White Audio for expert, friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The Castle St Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
This year's Walk the Wight will be the 25th anniversary. It's on Sunday the 10th of May. There are numerous walks. Bembridge to the Needles, 26.5 miles. Bembridge to Carisbrook, 12.5 miles. Carisbrook to the Needles, 14 miles. And the Flat Walk, Sandown Bay Academy to Shy Trees. This year's Walk the Wight on Sunday the 10th of May. Walking to raise money for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. More details are on www.iwhospice.com.
Sponsored by Isle of Wight Feet in Shanklin. Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. My dad's property surgery is in Shanklin, or he can visit you at your home. Call 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Are you ready, boo?
Does your garden need attention? Why not call LCL, Lee Cook Landscaping, to put it right? They are specialists in driveways, patios and paths, brickwork and stonework, decking and furniture, fencing, water features, lawns and planting, and garden maintenance. You can find them at www.lclandscaping.webs.com. Interested in our services? Then get in touch with us via the form on our contact page and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or email lclandscaping37@gmail.com. That's lclandscaping37@gmail.com. Lee Cook Landscaping is a high quality building and landscaping company partnered by D. Rigby Building and Landscaping.
White Trash, 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 Trash.
White Trash World, the home of the island's very own skate brand, White Trash. 59 High Street Ryde. It's open Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. 10:30 till 6 p.m. Not just about skateboards, it's clothing, gifts, shoes, books, DVDs and more. The island's only skate store, White Trash World, Ryde High Street.
Westrich Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westrichgolfcentre.co.uk. Westrich Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde. This year's Walk the White will be the 25th anniversary since the whole thing began. It's on Sunday the 10th of May. There are numerous walks that you can choose. Bembridge to the Needles, the Full Monty, 26.5 miles. Bembridge to Carisbrook, 12.5 miles. Carisbrook to the Needles, 14 miles. And the Flat Walk, Sandown Bay Academy to Shy Trees. This year, the target is £250,000. This year's Walk the White on Sunday the 10th of May, walking to raise money for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. More details are on www.iwhospice.org.
Are you ready, Boots?
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
It's Tuesday's Lunchtime Social Debate, some call it LSD. We've got Prickles in, and we've also got Brian Harris in. Brian Harris used to be the mayor of Ryde, lived in Ryde for 16 years.
16 years, that's right.
Since moving from the other side, the dark side.
The dark side,
crossed
yes.
Crossed over.
And now we're going to talk about the Historic Ryde Society.
Historic Ryde Society that runs Ryde District Heritage Centre.
Which is, are you like the main cheese on this, or is there a team of people?
We have a superb team of volunteers, but I am actually the chairman of Historic Ryde Society as of the last year. Sorry, just seeing a missed phone call from my wife, who knows I'm on air, so that's a bit worrying.
Hello, wife. So what does it do?
Historic Ryde Society was set up originally in 2009 to celebrate 175 years of the Royal Victoria Arcade, which is situated in Union Street in Ryde. That's the shopping arcade, halfway down on the left in Union Street.
Oh, yeah, the arcade that goes underneath and...
It has a basement. It used to have a basement with a flea market in it.
Your wife's phoning me now.
So that
no, someone's phoning me. It's not your wife. I don't think so. I don't think she's got my number. Not
just
yet.
Slightly concerning because she knows I'm on air. But
right.
Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, right. So yes. So 175 years ago, from 2011, was the foundation of the Royal Victoria Arcade, and Historic Ryde Society was set up to celebrate that fact. While advertising the bit that they were trying to do, that get celebrations going, a lot of people said, we need a museum. We haven't had a museum in Ryde since about the 1880s.
Right.
And so the society at the time, the members of that, looked round for premises, and luckily the arcade had just received some money from the Heritage Lottery Fund to revamp itself, or to be revamped, and one of the conditions was that the owner use the basement for some good works. And of course, we, the society, were looking for somewhere to go. It seemed the obvious place, and so we took over the basement in its entirety. Well, not the free basement, the free area that was the flea market.
So this is the bit that's underground?
It's the bit that's underground, yes. And since then we've expanded, we've had two expansions, and we're now going on to our third expansion. We're using up all the available basement space that remains, because the basements of the arcade were there for the workshops or kitchens or storage spaces for the shops above.
What happened to all the people that were in there, like their little stalls and things there?
They all disappeared. It was a going concern when we moved over in 1999. I went down there a couple of times, not realising it was going to disappear. Of course, these things, you think they're always there.
Sure.
It was closed for about 5 years. A lot of people remember the old guy, or the young guy in the early days, with all the records.
There was loads of specialist shops and things there,
wasn't there?
Well,
Jeff. He is now upstairs in the arcade proper. Still with thousands of records, CDs, things like that. He's slightly older than he was. I think he's been there for about 35 years or so.
And there was Fred. Fred with Glad Rags.
He's at the front.
Shops
he was downstairs.
And stuff,
is he still alive?
Fred?
Very much so.
He's a big old chunk of a chap, isn't he?
But I know sort of in the 70s and 80s, that was the place to go, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Fred is still there. We're using, or he's actually now renting or using some of our storage space. We were using his, but then we took over the paying the rent, and he's using that. But
so Lynn Impson was down there for a while as well, wasn't she?
Don't know.
Yeah, Lynn, do you remember Lynn Impson? She used to do the read your palms and your cards and
yes, but two or three people. You go around a corner, there's the curtain there, and there's somebody behind it going, "Yeah, you're going to be a great man." Somebody with red hands or something like that. Yes,
with one red hand.
Yeah, one red.
All right. So you've now taken up the basement.
We're in the whole of the basement now. Yes.
And what can we can we come in and see? Can we
you
visit?
Can come in. It'll only cost you £3, which is remarkably cheap, seeing what we have on offer. Initially, we started off just purely with what I tend to call laughingly a load of old junk. It's right. All ride junk, basically. It's right. All sorts of things. We've got a spit jack, which was used, an old clockwork mechanical roasting thing, rotisserie, that they used to use in the olden days. We've got one of those that clunks around. We've got the silver trowel that was used by the great and the good to lay the foundation stone of the town hall way back in 1840s. I know some people will be probably shouting at me saying, you know, you should know when it is, but I'm a newcomer. But we've got all sorts of things. We've got hundreds of artefacts. We've loads of stuff down there, all relating to ride. We've got loads of school photos. You know, the big long ones that they used to do in the old days, where if you were very quick, you could run around from one end to the other as the camera panned round. Sorry, Mike. We've got loads of those from Ride School, the old upper grade school, Caversham House, Dover Park, Oakfield. And people come in there and say, oh, look, there's little sounds. We had one person who came down to the centre. She was looking at one of the school photos saying, oh, look, there's little Derek Tomlinson. I used to sit next to him. Little Derek is now one of our volunteers who's now in his 60s. He was working around the corner. They hadn't seen each other for about 50 years.
Aww,
we've
got so many things, not just photos. We've got World War One memorabilia. We've got the Isle of Wight Rifles display from Vectis Military Historical Association. And the major thing also is the Donald McGill Postcard Museum, which has moved from the other side of Union Street. It came into us last year, and we have now the world's largest collection, I believe, of Donald McGill postcards, which aren't as rude as you might think.
Right. The world's largest?
As far as I know, yes.
See, why aren't we shouting about that?
Well, we are. Only this morning, before I came out here, I was putting the final touches, or advising James Bissell Thomas, who owns the museum, advising him on typographical errors in the flyer that's going out very shortly.
Wow.
So we are telling the world.
Yeah, best we need
possible.
To.
So just so for instance, we turn out, how long can we expect to, you know, spend down underground having a good look around for our £3?
If you came down at 11 o'clock in the morning, you could, if you wish, stay there all day.
Yeah.
We have, on the big screen, you have over 7,000 images of people of ride, things of ride, street directories for research, things like that. So you could spend... Some did work it out once, when you had a few thousand. They go around at about 10 seconds each. So 7,000 by 10 seconds is 70,000, 3,600. That's roughly 20 hours, I think. Is that right? 20
right.
hours?
Right. Okay.
Maybe. I'm not too sure. That's quick. You could stay there all day, literally just sitting in front of the screen, watching it scroll through and saying, I remember that. Who was that? That shop, that. I used to buy shoes in it, or whatever.
Is it the first of its kind on the island? Or is anybody else doing
it? Not as a museum. I mean, you've got all sorts of museums around. You've got East Cowes Heritage Centre, which is in a shop, I think, on Clarence Road or somewhere down by the terminal.
Okay.
Carisbrook Castle have a museum. There are other museums around.
No, I mean like a town, because this is just so, to say, for instance, if you
a
actually
town
live in
the town.
Town.
Yes.
Yeah, if you live in the town, it's great. Even if you're visiting, maybe you come back to ride numerous times, you know, is it the only one? It, just say, for instance, if there's nothing like this in Sandown, maybe if they had something like that in Sandown, it would be a bit... It would be appealing to some people. Not all,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do other people a disservice. I know Ventnor have a heritage centre on the hill as you come down into the town. I've been in there a couple of times, and that's a normal sort of heritage thing. They have lots of bits and pieces relating to Ventnor. Shanklin have a historical society. I don't think they have any premises as such. We're probably the biggest place on the island. You know, as an actual size of premises, we're probably the largest of any similar. But
how lovely to be able to go down and just sort of check out the history of ride. I'm just going to chuck someone at you. You might not remember him, but most people from Ryde would, if they were of a certain, if they've lived there for a certain amount of time. Mm. Theo.
Theo. Never heard of him. Yes, we have a... this was something... This was a year I was deputy mayor, I remember. I'd never heard of Theo. I wasn't around when he was trolling the streets, etc., with his newspapers and stuff. But we have got a plaque of Theo, or a plaque for Theo, on the wall of the town square outside Summerfield. Or the co-op.
Right.
Sorry, it's a co-op now. That was unveiled in 2009 by the High Sheriff, who was a lady at the time. Can't remember her name. But a local carver who does carvings of things in stone, he remembered Theo from younger days, and he said, if I do this carving of Theo, is there anywhere the town council could put it? So we spoke to Isle of Wight Council, who owned the land, and it's installed on the wall of the town square.
Do you just want to tell everybody who Theo is?
He was Theodore something. I don't know that much about him. He was apparently a concert pianist, or he was playing. He played piano, I believe, up to concert pianist.
Yeah, he was.
Standard. And then I gather he was jilted by a young lady, and he then took to the road. And he was apparently a gentleman. He was a real gentleman of the road, and well loved by people. Very well spoken. Very well educated, of course.
Used to walk from Sandown to Ryde.
Right.
Yeah. Quite often, used to see him up through Whitefield Woods. And yeah. On the way through to Ryde, yeah, as a child, yeah.
Sounds a fascinating person, yeah. The sort of guy I'd love to talk to, because these people, you don't go by appearances.
No, that's what I say, you look at people, but you don't see people.
You look at me, I look smart and intelligent, then open my mouth and prove the opposite, possibly.
if you wanted to talk to him, you'd need the help of Lynn Empson, because he sadly died in 1987.
Yeah.
But I've just found this, a memorial to a tramp. And geolocation, is that something to do with your website?
Nope.
No, but because I've got all the details here. Right. Simple monument, visible to the left of a plaque. It's got a pink wall.
Yes, it's a browny, sort of orangey, weird colour wall. Just recently repainted.
Okay, well, it looks pink here, but, you know, right. maybe they've done the colour. Anyway, his name was Theodore Racine Searle. He was born in 1916, died in 1987. Not many tramps make their way to the island. That's a lie. But one, okay. This one came in 1957 and stayed for 28 more years. It's a great story, because obviously whenever you used to go around Ryde, you would see him. And he had this big old bushy beard, and he looked like Father Christmas.
Yeah. And his jumper was all stuffed with newspaper, wasn't it, to keep him warm.
So when you've got characters like that and you can talk about, and majority of people that come from Ryde and around the island, they know him and they remember the story. There must be other stories alike.
Must be, yes. One interesting thing I found apart, as I was relating just now about the lady who found Derek Tomlinson after all those years, he's now, incidentally, our volunteer coordinator, so if anybody wants to come and volunteer down the centre, contact Derek. A lot of the volunteers are... They're people of Ryde. They went to school together. They went to either upper grade or Sandown Grammar, whatever, and they've grown up together. And it's almost a social event down there now. I call it the Tuesday Social Club, because we've got four or five of the older members of our community down there, and it's a laugh a minute almost. But they are serious when people ask questions, of course, but people come down and they have queries, and these people, because they grew up there, especially with the local music scene, that's possibly your sort of interest. Lots of bands around in the 60s and things, Cherokees, Dominoes, lots of others that I don't know about. I can't remember the names of. These people knew them. They some of them were in the bands that are mentioned. So there's a lot of stuff like that, a lot of recent stuff, apart from the really old historical stuff going back 200 years for the beginning of Ryde. It caters for all sorts of tastes.
So we've got to get down there, haven't we?
That's worth £3.
Well, actually, if you play your cards right, we let you in for £6 for the two of you.
Yeah. Bargain. Bargain.
To be fair, we only have £2 of that, because we're in effect renting the Postcard Museum. James Bissell Thomas, who also runs the Globe Manufacturing Company behind the orrery where he had the Donald McGill postcards, he needed the space that the postcards took up. So he said to us, would you like to take it? And after a lot of humming and hawing, and against some people's better judgment, we decided to take it on. So it's given a new lease of life for the Heritage Centre. But we get £2 of the entrance money. The other pound goes towards James, because he's having to pay for the copyright, etc., all that.
So do you get many people in, Brian?
We haven't had recently. We were closed for 5 weeks. We didn't get anybody in then, apart from volunteers, strangely. But in the summer, we do get quite a load, yes. The first week, we were open with the Postcard Museum. We had 8 people come over on the Saturday from Southampton purely to see the postcards.
That's good, isn't it?
They didn't realise about the Heritage Centre. Because in many ways, and I don't want to do ourselves down, but the interest of a load of old stuff about Ryde is fairly limited. It's mainly of interest to people of Ryde who remember those days, or obviously researchers of history who want to know about Ryde. The Postcard Museum is quite different because that that caters for all tastes and things, and that is an extra bonus for people coming down. It's all included in the one price. They come down to see the postcards, and then they're amazed at the amount of historical stuff we have.
But do you know what, Brian? I am fascinated by it. Yeah, okay. I only lived in Ryde for 10 years. I wouldn't be classed as a Ryde boy. I've always kind of lived in Newport, but it does interest me. It does fascinate me. And when you look at some of these old websites, when you've got pictures of people on the beach, you know, back in the 1960s, and you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deck chairs, and you think,
all occupied.
But you know what they're wearing?
Collar and tie.
Yes. Yeah. Incredible. Yes. And that, to me, I just find that absolutely fascinating when you can look back at old photos of Ryde,
and seafront, the streets,
Newport, all the old towns. Not just people that live here, but the people that came, you know, and visited on holiday and so on. Because so many people come to the Isle of Wight on holiday and they come back year after year after year. It must be fascinating to them to see how it's all changed. But back in the 1960s, people in collars and ties, wearing, you know, the suits, and they probably have their little, they'd have their shoes off and socks off and rolled up to the ankles.
And
that
drove
was about
over.
It.
Knotted hanky on the head as well.
Oh, honestly, just incredible to see how it's
drove
all changed.
Drove over in their Morris Miners. pictures of cars and things like that.
Most would come by ferry. We've got several pictures of the crowds on Ryde Pier waiting for the old paddle steamers. And I was over in 1960, was it 61? Gosh, I've got 61. I think. Sorry, it was the week the Berlin Wall was erected. Obviously, way before your time. I was only a teenager at the time, young teenager. Trotted down to the paper shop to get either the Daily Mail or the News Chronicle, whichever was around at the time. The News Chronicle folded and was taken over by the Mail, and there was the headline, Berlin Divided, and that was, I remember that because obviously quite an amazing thing to happen. And then on Saturday we went back to Portsmouth. Dad had parked his car at Cosham, I believe, and because it was cheaper to come over on the ordinary ferry, and we were queuing up with thousands of others on the pier waiting to get back on the boat. And it was a blazing hot day. We were queuing up for about 3 hours. I'm subject to migraines. I've got a blinding migraine, and sick as a dog on the ferry going back over. And we have photos of people like that, and I could almost be in one of those photos. There's a couple there with a kid who could almost be my mum and dad and myself, but it's not quite right, unfortunately.
Wow.
But you can't imagine the pier just being... And people used to get on the tram that ran up and down the pier. They'd get on the tram to save the walk. They'd get off at the pier head of the tram. Then they'd have to walk 3/4 of the way back down the pier to join the end of the queue.
Crikey.
And regulars used to laugh about that. They'd say, oh, you know, you're going on the tram, go on the tram, it's quicker.
But
you'd have to travel all the way back.
Even catching the ferry as a child, there was always a queue, wasn't there, to go on the ferry at the end of Ryde Pier. Always.
Well, it probably didn't run as
well, no, it was probably something like every couple of hours or every 3 or 4 hours, wasn't it?
But you used to get on the boat and have a run around,
didn't
you?
Yeah.
There was a place where you could get some food. You know, proper lunch
or your breakfast or whatever.
Go upstairs and have a run around. Yeah. There was about 3 different decks that you could go and have a game of heaps.
I always went down to the engine room. Dad would take me down there and see the great big pistons going chomp, 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 chomp. You'd look out through the little glass thing and see the paddles going chomp, 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 things like that. Well, you could hear them doing that. You couldn't see them doing that, of course.
Is there a website that we can look at?
Yes, historicridesociety.com.
Hang on, I've got to type that in. Historic.
You can put it in with capitals if you like, so it's easier to read. HistoricRideSociety.com.
Ride Society. Okay, I've got that here. And I would imagine they've got loads and loads of pictures.
All loads of stuff, yes. There are lots of gallery pages with lots of pictures of things. It's now been subdivided into items, you know, ride treasures, the creation of the Heritage Centre, all sorts of other bits and pieces.
What a brilliant website. It really is. It's got lots of good stuff on it. I'll have a good look at that later on. And I say, winter opening Monday to Saturday, 11 until 4. But you said you were closed.
We're now summer opening, yes. We were closed because we've got the ice well inside there, which is almost unique. I know it's grammatically not correct to say almost unique, but it's an internal ice well within the building. It was built at the time of the building being built in 1836, and we believe it's almost the only one of its kind still existing. And this was bricked up for many years, and I uncovered it about 3 years ago, one Saturday afternoon, once the shops closed. I demolished a wall to open up the space behind it where we thought the ice well, and there it was. It's if people don't know what an ice well is, it's not a well in the normal sense. It's a hole in the ground for containing ice. Lots of ice houses around. You've got people, ones at Osborne House, places like that. They're out in the field. This is actually an integral one to the building, within the building. And it's 11-foot diameter, 19-foot from top to the bottom, ovoid in shape. It looks like an egg because it's nice and roundish at the top, and it goes right down to almost a point at the bottom where there's a little grating to drain the meltwater away. Unfortunately, the engineers of Ryde Borough damaged the drain in about 1880, and since then it's let water in rather than allow water to drain away. So it's got about 6 foot of water in it at the moment.
Wow.
We have had it pumped out. We've had a singing group, the Dolly Mops, down there a couple of years ago using the harmonics, and they sounded atrocious because the harmonics aren't helpful to singing. It's great with me when I go down there singing. I think it's wonderful, but other people right. don't think so.
Do you know what? I like the Dolly Mops. They're a good band, actually.
But not when they're down in the ice well.
Not down in the... I didn't even know that there was a... I thought you were winding us up. I thought it was this ice well thing.
On our flyer, we did an insert. We did an insert a couple of years ago to try to raise money for the ice well. And on the website, there are lots of pictures of me and others of us down there digging it out because it's full of old junk and rubbish. 4,000 gallons of water, about 4 tons of silt, rubbish, metal bits, wooden bits, bricks...
Do you know, it's fascinating. It really is, and it's right here on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we don't shout about this enough. I know that we say, oh, there's nothing to do. Mm. Yeah, okay, we've been to Carisbrook Castle so many times, but I haven't been for years and years and years, and you always, whenever you go there, you always have a nice time, and you always get that sense of feeling, and I would imagine you get the same sort of sense of feeling if we were to come down and visit you. I just think it's a lovely thing. We don't shout about the history that we've got, and we're probably steeped in most history in the UK, because I just think there is so much more to us than beaches and postcards and things like that, and you know, sandy beaches. I just think that there is so much that we don't shout about, and I think it's fantastic that you guys have got together to sort of preserve these things, because that's what's happening. Is there any chance that, you know, we're ever going to lose this kind of stuff? Are you needing to raise money to preserve and save?
We're always needing money to run the centre. It costs nearly £15,000 a year just in rent and other things, electricity, water. We have all the normal bills to pay, insurance, things like that. We've got quite a few valuable items, so we need insurance, we need security for that. So it costs us a fair amount of money to run. We're all volunteers. All the committee members pay their own subs, £10 a year for a single person, £15 for a family. Gives unlimited access up and down whenever you want to. But we always need money, which is one thing where the Postcard Museum is helpful, because that is bringing in extra visitors. So we have an all... It's a more encompassing sort of visit these days.
Okay, but look, we're running out of time. Just to give out the website details, and you could actually, if you've got £200 spare, you could buy a brick or be a part of a plank on the pier and have a share in the stairs. I like that, share
yes,
in the stairs.
Yes, these are various fundraising things. We're trying to get as much money as possible. Hopefully we'll be there for some time. The owner of the arcade, Mr. Cartwright, he's very happy for us to be there, because we've increased the visitors' levels for the shops upstairs, etc. So it means his rental income is secure. We've got pretty long tenure down there, and as long as we find younger people to come in as well to help with the curating of the place, we should keep going for a very long time.
I would imagine schools would love this kind of thing.
We have school visits down there on occasion. Schools, Cubs, Scouts, Guides, Brownies, that sort of thing. They come down when they're doing coursework, stuff like that. We don't charge for educational visits.
I thought we were going to have to spend 15 minutes talking on Crystal Palace, 15 minutes on you being a mayor and stuff, but hey, look, we've spent a whole hour talking about Ryde, which is incredible.
Well, Ryde is the most important town on the country, in the island, isn't it, of course? And can I just say with that, there's a public meeting hosted by the town council, but not run by us. We're hosting it. It's the Isle of Wight Chamber of Commerce's vision for the future of Ryde, their master plan, and there happens to be a tram in the drawing coming up Union Street, and it happens to be coloured in palace colours for some reason. I don't know who coloured that in. But that's at 7 o'clock tonight, Ryde Methodist Church in Garfield Road.
Good luck with that.
And the final thing, anybody who catches the Route 37 bus is changing its direction and calling it the new community clinic at Shackleton House as from the 16th of March next week. So beware, it goes round the wrong way, but in my case it's better.
Brian, thank you. And thank you, Prickles. It's 1 o'clock. We've got to go.